It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. We are talking about practice. We appreciate y'all joining us this evening. I am your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside me, not my partner in crime, not the co-creator of the show. We don't know where he's at. But we do have a resident degenerate. If you got it, then spend it, because you can't take it with you. Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
And we got the Jew for Jesus, producer extraordinaire, Stepman Brett.
Yeah!
That's actually one of my favorite nicknames so far.
The Jew for Jesus.
That's a good one. That's a funny one. I like that. It's clever. It's clever.
Oh, man.
Too much fun.
We have fun around here.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of fun, we got a lot of fun stuff to get into. But first, we got to start with the passing of Dan Reeves and Joe Maddon. Jesus.
Whoa, don't kill him off. We already lost two legends.
Oh, my God.
Three, technically.
Yeah, let me knock on wood. Joe Montana, I'm sorry. You're my idol growing up. I'm sorry to do that to you.
Damn.
Joe Montana is still very much alive, last I checked. John Maddon, not so much.
Dan Reeves?
Dan Reeves, he gone.
Betty White?
She gone. All right, let's not make this such light out of this.
Yeah.
Obviously, Dan Reeves, legendary coach in the game, lived a real football life. And there's nothing we could say really about Maddon that hasn't been said. I mean, he is part of the reason for the popularity of football. His football game, Maddon, obviously, has introduced a lot of young folks to football and their love for football. But beyond that, I could speak for myself as a kid. When I heard John Madden's voice on a game, you knew it was a big game. I remember the games back in the day with him and Pat Summerall. And when you had those two, you were just like, okay, this game means something. This is the big one. You know what I mean? And then obviously all the years of him and Al Michaels together. And of course, he was a legendary coach. But I just think there's so few people that have a universal 100% Q rating, right?
Okay, yeah.
And John Maddon was one of them. Everyone liked John Maddon. And he just, I think him just being so authentic, it came across, right? And he was just so authentically himself. And he just loved football. And that came across on every broadcast. Every time he talked about football, it came across. So, R.I.P. to the legend. You guys got anything?
R.I.P. I mean, he was a great coach. Great coach. Started his career with the Raiders, I believe, at a young age, too. I think it was 33. He's probably one of the youngest coaches at the time. Or he probably has a record to be the youngest coach in the NFL. But, yeah, you're right, dude. He was a player's coach. Him and Al Davis did some things, great things to the Raiders organization.
Started at 33. So 34 was a little bit aging on him on that one.
Yeah.
33. He was
said
young.
33.
I did say 33.
I thought you said 34.
No.
I
said 32 or 33.
Oh, okay. He said 30. You're right on 33.
Yeah, and the crazy part about him is that he never flew anywhere.
Yeah, no, he flew once.
Once.
Flew once and said he was never going to do it again. And then that's the tour that that came after that.
So after that, he was just on a bus throughout the whole country.
That's what I think made it so relatable, is that he actually sat in diners along the main freeways and talked to the people that were on there. He wasn't just flying, going to the games and not being away from the fans. He was interacting with all the fans along the way to the games.
That's cool.
So that was the cool part. I think the best stories that I heard from him were those Maddon tours across the country.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was they're pretty legendary stories. Feel free to look any of them up. But he was just a man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, all the games that I watched, they all paid tribute to him this weekend, and he was well deserving. He also has a statue at the Oakland airport, which is dope. So,
that's cool. Ironic.
How so?
Because he never flew.
Great point.
It's like, we're going to put a statue in a place that you never go to.
He's like, hey, John, you know you have a statue over here? Why would I know that?
I don't go there.
Yeah. I've been there once. And then America's Darling passed away. Betty White at the tender young age of 99. And I think for most of us, we all view Betty White as an icon, but one of us in particular hasn't always had the same vigor and love.
I thought he was the number one fan. Was I wrong?
Oh, man, I've always hated Betty White.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was the opposite.
No.
Oh.
No.
My
always,
bad.
Yeah.
Do you care to elaborate on why?
I don't know. I've just always hated the old people in general. Like, I appreciate them for no doubt. They're always much loved, but like she always tried to play the like I'm trying to be the super hip and like know where all the things are. And just like,
like the too cool grandma.
Trying to be too cool grandma, okay. And I was just like, stop it.
She was trying too
like
hard.
Just you know, I get it. You want to try to be cool and whatnot. There's it just stop it. And that's like it just got role casted in that every single time. And it was just like I'm annoyed with her and stop it. So okay. I never liked Betty White.
All right. With all due respect, rest in peace, Betty White.
She doesn't need my respect at all.
Yeah.
Okay. At this
yeah,
point
she doesn't
time,
care no, about your
point,
respect.
No, she doesn't care about it whatsoever.
I just think it's interesting that you'd never cared for Betty White when nope. She seems to be pretty universally loved and adored. But
nah,
not your.
I would have loved to have seen that fist fight between you and her.
I mean, it would have been kind of disgusting because like it would have been a murder. But
I mean,
legally in the ring, yeah. So it would have been fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But a good little stat for that I saw. She actually lived to see every single Yankees World Series ring. All 27.
Damn.
Born in 23, the first Yankees World Series in franchise history. She was born in 22, franchise history for the Yankees, 23. Yeah.
That's impressive.
So all the Yankee fans that act like they've seen it all, she did. She didn't make a big deal about it either.
Okay.
She was at every single one of them.
Yeah.
She was alive for them.
Yeah. A lot of people in your life, Brad, just claiming that they've seen all the championships.
No, but they act like it. And it bugs me.
I mean, when your team is the best, you know.
Well, they haven't been the best in about 12 years.
You're
going to
whip it out every single time and say, oh, hey, here's how long it is, 27.
Yeah, the last time they actually used it was 12 years ago.
No matter what, you still have 27. You can just whip over your shoulder. Slinging around like it's nobody's business. Like, I got 27 on you.
Yeah, but it's what have you done for me recently?
It doesn't matter what you've done. You still have it.
Eh.
You know? It's not going to go away. No, you're right. It's not going to go away.
Like, you can't argue.
Yeah,
it's not going to go away, but it's like, okay, you're kind of garbage now. You haven't been in the playoffs.
I'm honestly going to side with Brad's point of, eh. That's a conversation ender, right?
I mean, I'm not trying to like say like I like the Yankees. No, I hate them. Obviously, like
yeah, they're there.
But at the same point in time, like I get it.
Like, I recognize
it was that dominant, and I'd beat all the other teams out there. Like as a
you
Dodger
would
fan,
let people know.
Yeah, exactly.
You would love
like as a Dodger fan, I've lost to them more than pretty much anybody else out there in the World Series. Maybe not. We've won the most. Like, we have lost to them so many times.
I'm going to look at that one up.
We have lost.
I think
to
it's
them
a good
so
tie between
many.
The Giants and the Dodgers.
We have lost so many to them.
Yeah, look it up. You know, while you're doing that, let's move on and talk football again, if we could. How about Antonio Brown? Huh?
Boy,
he is done. Bye, done.
So, for those of you who didn't catch it, Antonio Brown in the middle of the game, playing the Jets at the Jets. Ripped off his uniform, his shoulder pads, all of that, and walked out in the middle of the game. When I first saw it, I was like, wait, is that a fan on the field? And no, it was Antonio Brown saying goodbye to football, apparently, and leaving the stadium, catching an Uber, and dipping out. And so we could have the conversation about mental health. We could have the conversation about CTE. We could have the conversation about, is he just a jerk? But I'd rather have the conversation about, what's the most epic fashion you've ever heard of someone quitting a job? Because that's pretty legendary.
That has to be up there.
That's up there, definitely, yeah. Especially in the middle of a football game, too.
During a football game, as the two teams are still on the field.
Yeah.
Pretty legendary, if you ask me. Do you have anything?
I mean, I can't think of anybody, like, nah, there's nothing that's coming to your mind at this point.
Yeah, because he did it on a national stage when Tampa Bay's down to the Jets.
I'm not saying it necessarily needs to be on the same level, but in your own personal life, do you ever remember anyone quitting a job in spectacular form?
Yes, I do, actually. My friend Chaz, rest in peace his soul, he used to be the pizza chef at Crush, and he was one of those guys that I'll quit and I'll leave. No, I'll quit, and then he'll come back a week later. So this was probably like the second or third time he's done this. He blew up on the kitchen staff, said I quit, went to the end of the bar. Obviously, you guys know how Crush is. It's a pretty long bar. At the end, there was a bunch of cups stacked up, and he just slaps them, breaks them all. He goes, I'm never coming back to this place. And he said other words, but yeah, that was pretty – it was like a Tuesday, Wednesday night during service towards the end, but there's still guests there. So – yeah, that's
pretty legendary.
Yeah, that was.
I once knocked over all the pagers that they hand out at, like, you know, when you go to a restaurant, they hand you a pager. I once knocked those out on my way out the door of Red Lobster.
Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Was this after the Bibby incident, or was this later on?
This was after. That was my last time working there, or I think ever walking in. No, I did go back for a check after that. But yeah, no, I quit on the spot. I made a big scene out of it, shoved over the pagers, left, and then my boy, who was my roommate at the time, stuck his head out the door and was like, hey, man, you quitting for real? Because that means I'm going to have to work a double. I was just like, man, hate to put you in that spot, but I can't come back in after doing that. Like, yeah. I put my foot down over here, guys. Like, I got to go, you know? Like, I look like an idiot. And lose all credibility.
I mean, after this shift,
even if they took you back, they look bad on them too.
Yeah,
you know. So that's really.
Yeah. Like, so
you're working a double no matter what,
right?
You know? Yeah. They don't want you back anymore,
right? So, you know, also not my problem at that point.
Yeah, you don't work.
I don't work there anymore.
You quit.
So real quick, Giants had 4 losses to the Yankees. The Dodgers had 8.
See, there we go.
There you go.
Eight times.
So we were second, but...
Yeah. We doubled the second place team. See, exactly. Times. We have lost them 8 times.
Damn, that's...
Right? Well, I mean, you face murderers, bro, all the times, okay, man? It's, you know...
8 times.
Knock you down. Yeah.
That is a lot more than I expected. Thank you for doing your job, Stat, man.
You're welcome. I'm going to go back to not doing my job now.
All right, perfect.
I like when my assumptions always turn out correct.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I was like, they probably are. Just because, like, sheer knowledge.
I mean,
knowledge,
the Giants and the Dodgers back, especially back in, like, the 40s and 50s, were always contending.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
Underrated feeling. Just assuming something, throwing something out that you believe to be true, but you've never done any fact checking.
Yeah.
Someone goes to check you on it, and you're right. Mm. Oh man, that I'm surprised you're being so humble about it.
That's
and saying,
good,
yeah, I wasn't quite sure, because I like to let that one ride. Like, yeah, bro, why would you ever doubt me?
I guess that is true. Yeah,
you know, idiot.
You
know,
really, really missed an opportunity
I know,
there.
I know our losses. There are many. That's not something I want to be proud of there. Exactly. That's why I guess I'm so humble about it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess, yeah, you are on the wrong side of it there. Yeah. So that makes sense. Going back to football, we have some clarity at the top of the AFC. And what we do know is Joe Burrow is for real. And Ja'Marr Chase, I've been telling Rudy since week one, Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best rookie wide receivers we've ever seen, one of the greatest route runners I've ever seen, 226 yards receiving yesterday, 3 touchdowns.
He balled out, man. I mean, I never said he wasn't going to be a good player, but he has done things this season that no one has before. That game against the Chiefs yesterday, he balled out. That 70-yard run. That catch and run was insane. He smoked everyone on that damn field. He had at least, what, like 7-8 yards in between him and the last defender. And, you had me on that one. I can't lie about that. But he balled out. He's been balling. And Joe Burrow, they've had that connection since college, but it's only going to get better, too. So we shall see as the time comes.
He has the second most receiving yards for a rookie in the history of the NFL, behind Bill grow men from in 1960.
But at the same time, they played a lot less games back then.
Yes, I was going to say, I'm like, think about how many games.
They did it in 14, and they didn't pass that much. So Bill Grohman must have been out here balling, Doug. Yeah. Oh, my God. He did it in 14 games on 72 receptions. He averaged 20.5 yards per catch.
Holy cow.
Throwing bombs every game or what?
Unbelievable. He averaged 105 yards a game.
That is unreal.
Little Bill Grohman stats there for you party people out there. Bet you weren't banking on that.
He would have been a great fantasy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bill Grohman? Truth. But the Bengals look like the real deal, and they're atop the AFC. Who has all clinched? Can you give me the playoff picture, Brad? Do you have that in front of you?
I have that in front
because
of me.
Because I'm still confused. All right, go ahead.
All right, so Titans are number one, tied there with the Chiefs.
I cannot believe
the Titans are
the
number
Titans
one.
The Titans with Ryan Tannehill and no Derrick Henry of the season.
Go Chico local, well, Jeff Swaim.
He might come back.
He is their
week.
Tight end over there for the Titans, so excited to see that.
Yeah. He's a PV kid?
He's a PV kid, graduated with me back in 11. And he actually got a touchdown last week on the clinching day, so
nice. Good
for them. So you have Titans and Chiefs, number one, number two. Bengals right behind them at 10-6. Bills number four. Patriots 5. On the outside looking in right now, the Colts and the Chargers at 6-7. The funny thing is, if the Colts lose, all the Chargers and the Raiders have to do, the second game is tie, and they can both make it into the playoffs, and the Chargers are out.
Oh.
And the Colts are out.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So the Raiders are a win and in situation regardless, right? Or
Both teams are winning in.
Yeah, and they're both playing each other.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Raiders.
Who are the Colts playing?
The Colts are playing, oh goodness, let me see.
Sorry, to put
the Jags.
The Jags. So that's an easy win. But if they're, okay.
So if the Colts lose, all the Chargers and the Raiders have to do is tie, and both the Chargers and the Raiders go in. But it's a win and in situation for all three teams right now.
And they're the Sunday night game, so they could be like,
exactly. And that's the thing. They could do the exact same thing of just, let's kneel 15 times and just call it good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But that's only if the Colts lose.
That's only if the Colts lose, yes.
And you're asking a lot to lose to the Jags.
Yeah. So the Ravens are in, but a lot of things have to happen right for them, and the Steelers are still a possibility. But again, a lot of things have to happen.
Shout out to the Raiders. I can't believe they're still around.
They're still alive and kicking, and they hold their future right now. All they have to do is beat the Chargers, and they're in.
I mean, they have a coach get fired for shady emails, and then you have your best, your fastest offensive threat, your deep threat, and Henry Ruggs kill a girl going 150 miles per hour. You get a cornerback get arrested last night or this morning for a DUI, and here you are with a winning in situation to get in the playoffs, one game winning in. That is crazy to me.
Yeah, that is insane.
And Derek Carr, the pair on him in that game, that throw to Hunter Renfrow was sick. And in just a clutch spot. So for all the shade thrown Derek Carr's way, he really did step it up in a major way there. Mm-hmm. All right, Niners are in a winning in scenario as well after getting the win versus the Texans at home. Niners went into that game, what, 4-point favorite, something like that?
No, it was more than that.
Oh, okay.
I think it was 5.
But Trey Lance, I wanted to get your takeaway from watching Trey. You watched the whole game, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So what was your takeaway watching Trey Lance?
He played well. The play calling was a little bit weird because obviously Kyle Shanahan didn't want him to throw the ball as much. So there was a lot of play action heavy, a lot of running. He did have 5 rushes for 30-something yards. He did have a pick as well. He looked a little bit nervous at first, but towards the third and fourth quarter, it seemed like he calmed his nerves and he established himself. So, and our line played great, too. They did a good job protecting him. And like I said, Kyle Shanahan knew that we were going to run the ball a lot. And I think Mitchell ran the ball 21 times during the game. His ball looked kind of – he wasn't really throwing the ball well. He did have 3 or 4 passes that were, like, on point with some power. But he played okay.
Yeah.
You know, he played okay for that being his second start. Now, if he does start next week, he's going to face a nasty, nasty Rams defense.
Which is why Kyle Shanahan should have started him from the jump to get him experience.
Exactly.
And it was kind of a double-edged sword. If you start him and he starts off slow and you have a terrible record, but then he gets better, you could have found yourself in this exact same scenario regardless, mm-hmm. except your guy's going to have a lot more experience. I don't love the chances of putting a rookie QB in that situation who's started three games in the past two seasons between college and the pros. You put him in a one-game scenario against a division rival on the road to go to the playoffs. That's putting a lot on his shoulders, which is why I thought he should have got more reps earlier in the season. But here we are. I thought, and so, you know, his play was up and down, but he really seemed to settle in the second half. I have a pretty, I don't know if anyone else will find this stat interesting, but he threw down the field more than any Niners quarterback in the past three seasons. Let me get the stat here. He averaged 10.5 yards. He averaged 10.5 yards. And he had more yards on throws down the field, 10 plus yards at 205 than any quarterback in the past 3 years. So,
damn,
that's promising.
Mm-hmm.
He's at least throwing the ball down the field. He definitely doesn't have the timing routes down. He missed some wide open ones. That pick he had when he was throwing to Kittle, he had Debo wide open.
Yeah.
But these things are expected when you're... he's 21 years old, I think.
21, 22, and it's his second start.
Yeah. You know? So, we'll see, man.
We'll see. We just have to pray for it. I mean, at this point, they're saying that if Jimmy's 100%, he's going to start. But he also said it's going to hard to see him be 100% if he's going to start. So, we'll see. And Trey Lance, we trust, dude. Because... If we do go to LA, which we have been owning them the past two seasons, and that game that we won against them early in the season, that was a turning point for the season. So we shall see. It's gonna be a tough game on the road. The Rams have been playing a lot better as of recent, but we need a win. And if we want to get in the playoffs, it looks like we might play Tampa Bay in the first round if it stays the way that it is. Which I'm not scared about Tampa Bay. I don't think anyone should be, but it is Tom Brady, so.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Let me do that stat again, because I think that was confused everyone. Trey Young averaged more air yards per attempt yesterday at 11.5 and threw for the most yards on 10-plus air yard passes at 205 yards.
Trey Lance, not Trey Young.
You are doing great on these stats.
I haven't eaten today, okay, guys? I've been drinking juices.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Man. Let's move on, right. Shall we? Rodgers looks good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Packers are...
It was cold.
Scary team to... I don't want to play the Packers at all.
Yeah, the Packers actually look really good this year. Yeah.
And they're only going to get better.
I always count on the Packers to blow it in the playoffs. And I lick my chops when the Niners draw the Packers, because we own the Packers in the playoffs. You had something?
No, you're good. I was going to say the NFC Championship game is when we're going to lose, but you know, that's usually when we choke.
That's usually it. Nope, yeah.
Huh? Yeah. No, I think this year is going to be the year that we actually break past that.
Yeah. Well, everything goes, all roads go through Lambeau.
Yep.
And to go into the cold. Probably a night game.
That's going to be
potentially a
difficult one to get through on how cold it is.
And Rodgers is used to playing in that.
Yep. So, I mean, unless you play, looking at the playoff spots right now, the Eagles are the only team that is comfortable in that weather. Everyone else is in either warmer climates or in a dome.
Speaking of the Eagles and being safe, my God, that... Jalen Hurts almost getting destroyed
by the stands
giving away to those fans who ended up spilling out. The fact that no one had the peace of mind to lay on the ground and then later sue and act really injured is beyond me. And also kind of means maybe society's trending in a good way, except for the fact that they're all just on Jalen Hurts, Big Dick Cheney so much that they are like, no, we're not hurt. We're good. And we just want to take a picture with him. I think I would have laid on the ground for quite a while.
My ankle would have been rolled, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I would have had some
broken
real,
kneecap. Everything.
Real mental health issues because of that fall.
Back issues.
It traumatized me. I lost my job because of the trauma.
I can never go to a game anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
The list goes on.
Even hearing a football game gives me PTSD.
Yeah,
probably.
You guys get it.
Yeah.
You guys are on my team.
All right. Take season tickets, though.
Or season tickets. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, if, you know, the best way to get through trauma is to deal with it face on, you know? So there you go.
I need lifelong tickets.
Let's get to Rudy's picks. Rudy, how'd you do last week, Rudy?
NFL, I went 2 for 3, but Michigan, yeah. We'll talk about that once we – if we – go through that road.
All right.
So we are going to go through that road.
Okay.
Rudy. 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 Rudy.
The student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy. Dan Rudy.
All righty, guys. New week, new year. It's the same method. Let's make that money, boys. I got my Niners on the road at +5, but I'm going to buy 2 points to get them at +7. Against the Rams in a must-win situation to make the playoffs. And I got both AFC East teams. I got the Bills over the Jets at home. Again, spread's kind of high at 16.5, but I think they're going to beat them by 25, 30 points because they're currently tied with the Patriots in the division. And then I got the Patriots versus – sorry, who are they playing – Patriots.
The
Patriots.
Jets have been a little frisky lately.
Patriots on the road against Miami at -6.
Miami's always been the Patriots kind of kryptonite here and there.
Yeah, but it's playoff time for them, so, and it's for the division as well. So, yeah. All right.
I like it.
Yeah, the Patriots -6, Bills -16.5, and then the Niners at +7 when you buy the 2 points. So let's get this money, boys. Let's start off the year strong. Let's go.
I love it. The Jets picking against the Jets, that's a big number. But
it is, but like I said, it's a big game.
They've just been... Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's all we can say. We'll see.
We'll see.
Derek, how much of the Michigan game did you have the misfortune of having to watch? You were working, right?
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
There's no need. That was tough.
Yeah, that one hurt.
That was tough. That was going to try to make a big deal out of it. I was trying to meet up with you, and then I realized, oh, yeah, this is also you're working, so.
He was very lucky because I watched a good portion of it, and that one hurt. They just looked so unorganized and overwhelmed by that Georgia defense.
Overwhelmed's a great word.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I've been working on that linguistics for quite some time.
Well, Michigan couldn't get a stop either. I mean, So here we go. Two SEC West teams in the championship this Monday. Georgia, Alabama. I mean, why do we even play the games with Alabama? Just put them in the playoff, and that's when their season can start.
Get them a free ride towards
them. Oh, my God. Here we go again. Well, the job Nick Saban's done is just insane. This would be, what, his ninth time in the championship?
9 out of 12 or 9 out of 13 or something like
that. Yeah, with Alabama?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Ridiculous.
Both Georgia and Alabama are not in the same.
They're not in the same.
No, you said both of them from the West.
Yeah.
Georgia's from the East.
Apologies. Thank
you. Alabama's West.
Thank you for the correction.
Makes sense why they're able to meet up in the SEC championship.
In this SEC championship.
Yeah. There we go. The plot thickens.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't they still... SEC championship.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So
got it. Yeah. Got it.
So here's a fun little stat, though. No team has actually won the second meetup at all. In the history of championships.
All right.
This is boding well for Georgia. This is boding well, very, very well for Georgia right now.
But we all know it's Georgia, so Georgia's going to blow it because that's what they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been Georgia's year. Atlanta won the World Series, so, you know,
it's going to
be the time to shine.
Yeah.
I would say the tides are turning for Atlanta, but, you know, it's Atlanta.
I mean, they won a World Series, so the tides
turn. I meant just in general, that city has been kind of flip-floppy.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to mute myself then. I was
where are we going with
the
that?
The Braves just won a World Series.
I don't even know. They literally just won a World Series.
Georgia has been number one ago. I mean, don't get me all
wrong,
year.
Don't get me wrong, the Falcons are trash. But, yeah, the Falcons we were talking about that.
Yeah, we also need you to like hit buttons over here so you can't go anywhere. Thank you for being dramatic, but also only the few people on Instagram Live can see us. By the way, you should be on our IG Live. Shout out to all our friends on IG Live right now.
Hi, friends.
Follow us. We'll follow you back. TBP, not a game. TBP. Not a game. Let's go into break.
Yeah, we can go into break. I'll push a button here.
Yeah, go ahead and push that button for me, sir. Thank you. Thank you. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Chiro, Derek, Rudy, Statman, Brett in the building. Again, thank you for spending part of your evening with the nonsense it is we do around here. We also want to thank our friends over at Digital Path, providing high-speed internet for your home or business. Digital Path offers flexible plans with expanded data and speeds up to 75 megabits per second. Details about Digital Path service at 800-676-PATH. That's 800-676-7284. And online at digitalpath.net. I heard an advertisement read for a tech company that didn't have a website the other day, and I just thought that was hilarious.
For a tech company?
Yeah.
That is off.
Yeah, they just had a phone number. I was like, that's weird.
Come by our office. That doesn't exist.
Yeah, call us and we'll tell you about our product. let's get to the North State update, and then we got news.
He's got facts. He's got stats, and his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. Ah, yes, it's good to be back again with the North State Update, and big news in Chico State Athletics. First, let's go to the women facing off against Stanislaus State, and a huge win, winning 67-58. But the story is not in the score, but it's how they scored. 14 of their 19 field goals were from beyond the arc. That is right. 14 three-pointers for Chico State. 5 in the final 5 minutes of the game to seal the victory. Now going over to the men's basketball team. Unbelievable start. They have just tied their best start in school history. I was about to say franchise, but it's like, no, in school history.
Same
at
thing.
10-0, they beat Stanislaus State 61-55 to go 10-0. Right now, they moved up to number 5 in the country. That is right, number 5 with a 9-0 record right now in the books, in the rankings. So they'll definitely either stay or go up from here. And that's huge for them right now, being 9-0, because three teams in that conference are ranked. Cal State San Bernardino at 10-1. Their only loss to Chico State is number 6. Cal State San Marcos is number 11 at 9-0. Now, the next time that Chico State plays, well, the first time Chico State will play Cal State San Marcos is going to be January 13th. So, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, they'll be playing against Cal State San Marcos, hoping that they sweep this next weekend so that they play them in an undefeated Cal State San Marcos team.
Is that in Chico or in San Marcos?
That will be actually in Chico. Oh. Thursday, 7:30. Go down and check them out. If you can't, check it out on KPAY Sports 1290. But the big game is going to be hopefully against Cal State San Bernardino February 5th. That'll be at Chico as well. Huge game there. Huge implications for playoffs and region. And the region, this is probably one of the deadliest conferences and also the deadliest regions in the country right now. So look for the West region and the CCAA to produce huge winners.
Let's go. Let's go.
I would not be surprised if the CCAA produces somebody going to the Elite Eight. So yeah. Watch that.
Watch that. Check that. Check that. Check that.
And that is your North State update.
Very good, sir. Thank you. I was surprised we didn't get the Wildcat roar.
I was on a just tear with the stats and everything. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah. I can only do so much at one time.
Okay. I apologize.
Thank you. You're forgiven.
For making you, asking you to do your job. let's...
Yeah?
Let's get it. The fine folks listening caught up with the going ons around the world. Derek Ismaki has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Ismaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. I don't know about y'all. Big fan of potatoes myself. Love potatoes.
Love. Oh, yeah.
Probably one of the most versatile foods out there. And if you could only have one food for the rest of your life, potatoes would probably be on that list, short list of foods I would want to do. Probably at the top of the list, if I think about it. Because you can do a lot of things. That, soups or sandwiches. Because soups and sandwiches, very ambiguous, can go a lot of different ways with it. But potatoes. A lot of good things with potatoes. That being said, you got to feel for our friends over in Japan as they are facing a bad shortage of our good friendly friends, the Spuds. And they need them, especially for the McDonald's, who are now having to ration their French fries to people because of this lack of potatoes. And that's the cardinal sin right there. Rationing French fries to people when they're on the side, that's just like, no.
No, that's unreal.
How dare you? No rationing required and or wanted. When I'm getting my McDonald's Big Mac, it deserves all the fries that come with it on a normal basis, if not more. Yeah. Exactly. I want because like you're not getting the bag fries then. If you don't get the bag fries, what's the point of getting McDonald's then? You know,
those are the best fries.
Those are the best fries of the entire process right there. Yep. Those fries that are not in your actual fry container, they're in the bottom of the bag because they just happen to fall out from glorious reasonings. Those are the best ones. You don't get those anymore, I'm guessing. Those are probably gone. Long gone. So pray for McDonald's. Don't pray for McDonald's. I don't care about McDonald's whatsoever. I pray for the people in Japan who are lacking getting those fries that are so necessary for sustainability. But luckily, here at the U.S., we love our potatoes so much that we're going to help them out and send over three planefuls of 747s with our good old Spuds to help out. They're much needed shortage.
That's important. Yeah. Good work. I'm glad we're on it.
Yeah, the Irish could have used that a couple hundred years ago, but would have been nice.
They wouldn't be where they are today without the little pain and suffering, you know?
You're not wrong.
100%.
Absolutely not wrong.
So that potato famine made Ireland, all right?
So you're saying we should probably starve out Japan with those potato famines?
No, we don't need to go through it again. Like, we don't want to cause that on anybody else.
Yeah. Well, but it might make them stronger.
They've already gone through enough. We already nuked them twice, okay? Like, we did a lot against them, all right? Like,
so now this is repayment?
I mean, granted, they've done some terrible things, too, but we did nuke them. You know, we got the last lap.
Sorry, we nuked you. Licks. Here's potatoes.
Yeah, we got last licks. You know, we already got last licks in. We don't need to do any more, so we got to help them out.
Okay.
Now you're just kicking them when they're down. If now they ever do them to us, then we could not.
Then we take the potatoes back.
Then no potatoes for them.
Take the potatoes back.
Yo, everyone.
We want those potatoes back. Produce potatoes.
Yeah. Give it back. And interest, okay? And interest. Moving along, keeping the global aspect of this news alive for you, we go over to our friendly neighbors down south in Brazil. Really down south. And not really neighbors. They're not even neighbors at all.
Far from neighbors.
Yeah, nowhere near neighbors.
They're a couple cul-de-sacs off.
They're another hemisphere neighbors.
Yeah, they're just a continent.
Yeah, different hemisphere. they're hemisphere neighbors. There we are. We're north, they're south.
Fair enough.
Good save. Yeah. Good save.
We have our good friend, Rosangeles dos Santos Lara, who had herself a little day when she went to the market. When she and her husband facing a little financial difficulties, she wanted a little joy in her life. So what did she do? She buys herself a little pig, a little piggy as a friend, as a little pet. What she's thinking is this pot belly,
this assumed pot belly pig will not get much more than, you know, with a couple pounds and running around the house having a good time. Nope. Nope. Not quite a bit. Not a quite at all. As this pot belly pig turned into a full on pig that grew in 3 years to being over 250 kilograms. Kilograms. For those of you who don't know, it's 2.2 pounds to a kilogram, so that's over 450 pounds, y'all.
It's a lot of bacon.
Almost 495 pounds. I apologize. I'm cutting this animal short. That is some fat pork right there.
That's a big boy.
That is a or fatty. Girl. And
it's a porker.
This Lilica is the name of said said pork. And Rosangela will not sell said pork because she loves it now. And she has been offered damn near $3,600 for said pork for the meat. Which, that's a lot of meat right there. I'm just saying, that's bacon for days.
All day.
All types of bacon. Yeah. Pork shoulder, pork butts.
Pork belly.
Mm-mm-mm.
Pork rinds.
They keep up. The list goes on and on.
Yep.
Pork, another thing I'd like to have for...
I love pork.
Yeah, you love pork.
Yeah. Nice and fattiness, juiciness.
Mm. There we go.
Oh, God, I'm hungry. Yeah. Jero, are you hungry right now?
I am.
Can't really drink pork, though.
Yeah, you can't drink
that's
it.
That's fucking can't. That sounds disgusting. That sounds a little vile.
Can I get an amen?
All right, last one. last story of the day for y'all. We move into our friendly neighbors down south in L.A. A little more down south.
Those this one's actually,
they're
more
these are more neighbors.
These are more neighbors. A little more neighborly for us. Where
the southern hemisphere of California. Sorry.
They are... they're experiencing, like many other places, a rise in burglaries, upticks in homicides, upticks in crime all around. But one burglary suspect had himself a little time when he went into this Bel Air mansion.
Ooh.
Where he broke in and decided, you know what? While I'm in here, why not enjoy the luxuries of said mansion? So what does he do? Takes himself a nice shower, enjoys himself a nice cocktail, and smokes himself a fine cigar.
Hey.
All caught on camera.
Let's go.
And was arrested in the establishment still doing said things. So I love it. The guy was just like, you know what? I'm in here for the long haul now. I'm just going to stick it out. See what happens. How long can I stay in this house for?
I wonder how long he was in there just hanging out.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, enough to take a shower.
Right?
Enough to drink a cocktail. Enough to smoke a cigar. Cigars take a long time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he probably wasn't smoking. He probably had
a couple puffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I was say, it takes a long time to go for put a full cigar down.
Yeah.
It's harsh, too.
It's a good time, though.
Yeah.
Especially if you have the right cocktail with you. Yeah. Hopefully this guy knew his parents.
Yeah.
I mean, he obviously has good taste. He broke into the right establishment.
Clearly. It did, yeah.
And I hope he had a good shower. Was like, I hope he's smelling. I probably was one of the best smelling guys going in the jail ever. Yeah, like, he goes to the jail. He's
who
like,
who's that coming in right
oh,
now?
Oh, man,
boy.
Dude, this guy's smelling like lilacs and lavender right now.
With the hit of Columbia.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So this guy is ready, primed and ready for his drop in the soap moment.
Hey.
And that's your weekly news update, y'all.
All right. Very good. Let's bring in our foreign correspondent now. Aaron always helps class the show up. Aaron, welcome back.
How's it going, guys?
Great. Fantastic. One of the things, so Aaron covers all the sports that we don't pay nearly enough attention to. And we're going to talk about this Jake Paul and Dana White beef here in a minute, but I wanted to start with a hockey update.
Puck yeah!
And let the people know how the season's going and just wherever you want to go with talking to the folks about hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to talk about it just because 2 weeks ago they officially canceled all the games, and that was a big deal. And I remember when Brad said it on air, I thought it in my head. I said, they're doing this because they don't want the players to go to the Olympics. And what happened? They said, we're not going to the Olympics. So in the CBA, the players really wanted to go. But even though the agreement between the league and the NHL Players Association was contingent on pandemic conditions not worsening and disrupting the season, many, many players are upset that they're not given the choice to go. So a timeline of events, December 19th, across the border, travel had been canceled. 20th, all the games had been canceled until Christmas Day. But then the 23rd, the cancellation extended to December 27th. On December 27th, the league resumes, but there were numerous games canceled for the 27th, 28th, and 29th. As of today, 92 games have been canceled, 87 since the start of December. So it has been pretty bad because there were 57 games that had been canceled before they, before the league canceled the, or called the Christmas break. So 57 is a lot, but the league is doing something pretty shady and they're allowing, taxi teams, which basically just means that the NHL can add players to their roster through, the All-Star break, which is in, February, the beginning of February. So it's like, why can't they do the same thing for the Olympics? It's a little shady. It's a little sketchy. And I really feel for the hockey players.
Yeah, that sucks being denied the dream to go represent your country in the sport you love. But, you know.
And the same regards, like a lot of these players in the NHL are from heavy, heavy hockey countries that, I mean,
Russia, Canada.
Yep. And it's similar to how Spain, England, a lot of these Western European countries view football is, yep. I mean, these hockey stars are like gods to them, and that's how they view hockey. It's a religion in and of itself in these countries like Russia, Czechoslovakia, and Canada and stuff like that. So it was sad to see, just because you enjoy watching those big stars coming from those countries.
Yeah, it's pretty shady. The NHL commissioner was trying to lobby for the hockey to play in the winter or in the Summer Olympics, which is just like absurd. So
it's absolutely,
it feels shady.
That's ridiculous. Did you get a chance to watch the Winter Classic at all?
I didn't watch all of it, but it was a record -8 degrees, the coldest game ever.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for the NFL, they actually
They had to heat the ice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had to heat the ice to keep it from being too frozen, I guess.
No kidding.
Yeah,
you're joking.
Yeah. No.
They actually have to have it a certain level for them to play on it.
Yeah,
that's wild. I didn't know that. I just love the way the aesthetic of that game is just so cool to watch them playing outside. I don't know.
It's like a backyard game. I love it.
Yeah.
People love it. It's a classic for a reason.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So let's talk about Dana White and Jake Paul. Jake Paul came out and basically called Dana White a cokehead. And Dana White responded by saying that he does not do...
Jake Paul does steroids.
Yeah, Jake Paul does steroids and round and round. And the couple things stuck out to me. So basically Jake Paul wants to fight Jorge Masvidal. He said he'll step into the octagon if Dana White will do 50-50 revenue split with the fighters in the UFC and bumps their purse from $12,000 a fight to $50,000 a fight across the board for all fighters. And Dana White, this is not your bag, bro. This is what Jake Paul does. Jake Paul is running circles around him, in my opinion, in the producing content side of these things. When you're watching their exchange and their back and forth, what was coming to mind for you, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. This is Jake Paul's arena, and Dana should just keep his mouth shut because he looks like he does coke, and I don't know if he does, and I don't care if he does, but he's just not as good at this. And what he needs to do is he needs to stick to his bread and butter, what he's good at. He made a really, really good point. He said, Jake, you might get the likes, but I get the pay-per-views. And I was looking this up. I was like, I want to see. What did this most recent fight get, Tyron Woodley versus Jake Paul? 65,000. Not even. 65,000 pay-per-views.
Damn.
You know what the UFC average is? 700,000 in the U.S., not international. So they average 700,000. So, you know, I think Jake Paul is, you know, he's just doing it to drum up some attention for himself. But like I was saying last time when we talked about this, he's going for the wrong guy. He needs to go for one of the boxing associations. He could easily take one of them out. He cannot compete with UFC. It's just, you know, whatever Dana White has done, he's built an incredible brand. But yeah, Dana White looks like a fool trying to go toe-to-toe with him.
I just wanted to mention, I totally agree with everything you're saying. The only thing, the only pushback I would have is this last fight didn't do anything as far as pay-per-view buys. And I think a lot of that might have had to do with the fact that it was a rematch and it was a last-minute scratch, right? Because he was supposed to fight someone else, and then Tyrone Woodley was still available, and he had to switch out, like, I think 10 days before the fight or 2 weeks before or something like that. And just to compare to the $65,000 or 65,000 buys on the last one, Jake Paul did do 1.5 million buys on pay-per-view when he fought Ben Askren. So he has done some numbers in the past, and he is an attraction. But no, Dana White is the establishment. He's been around. But Jake Paul, I mean, Dana White is just in over his head trying to do.
It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for him.
Yeah.
The video, this was so cringe.
Oh, it was so cringy watching him. Oh, my God. It was so bad when he was trying to retaliate. And, like, Jake Paul had some points.
Absolutely.
Here's how you circumvent this whole thing. You say nothing.
Absolutely.
This isn't your bag. This isn't your arena, like you said. So just say nothing. If someone asks you about it, like, get that out of here. Jake Paul, it's not even real. Get that out of here, right? Yeah. And keep it pushing. By responding, it's just so, it makes Dana White, it's an all-around bad look and a loss. There's no winning here.
It makes him look like a petty little kid. It was so cringe. I was so embarrassed for him. It was just like, Dana, get a social media manager, dude.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Well, hey, Aaron, always thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great work as always. And we will catch up with you again next week.
Sounds good. Can I give myself a humble brag really quick?
Of course you can.
I've never played fantasy football ever before, year my friend group decided to, and I won, and I've never played before, and I'm just really proud of myself.
The first
you
year
are
playing?
Awful.
I played, and I won. My whole league.
Wow.
Congrats.
Don't care.
It'll never happen again, but I'm just really proud of myself, and Derek was in the league, and I...
Oh! Well, good for you, Aaron. I'm proud of you.
Did you make playoffs in that league, Derek?
I did, yeah.
Did you lose to her?
No, I did not lose to her.
Oh, okay. No. All right. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later. Congrats. foreign correspondent.
Wow.
Always coming with the heat. Shouts to her. Congratulations to her on winning fantasy football. I can't say the same because I forgot to switch out Damian Harris for Melvin Gordon, and it's something that will not ever leave me because I absolutely dominated with Ja'Marr Chase yesterday. But whatever, I got my money back, so we'll take that. Moving on. Do you want to do a quick foot mouth? You got it in you?
Yeah, sure, let's go.
All right. There's lots going on, so.
Here we go.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year and he could barely throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's foot in mouth.
Has it been a season so far? Always is. It never lets me down. It hasn't yet, never will. I don't see it happening. Why? Because these teams out there are always going to get better. The players out there are only getting better. The competitions get thicker. More teams are getting involved. It's fantastic. And the way the Premier League is shaping out, you might think it might be over. A lot of people are handing it to Man City at this point in time. It's still a long way to go. We've only played 21 games. And they got 38 games total. So a lot of games left to play, a lot of points out there. But the way things are going, this is Man City's to lose, 100%.
Yep.
They are playing lights-out football, beautiful football. I love watching them play. One of my favorite teams to watch right now. The style of play that they have out there is phenomenal. It's so exciting. Pep Guardiola, you are phenomenal the way you handle it out there.
But I'm not going to talk about them and the way they played, because they didn't play any spectacular game the way that we had the likes of between Chelsea and Liverpool.
Woo-hoo! Baby.
What a game. Probably one of the most entertaining games, best entertaining game of the year we've had.
Epic game, dude.
Epic game we had. Phenomenal back and forth play. This is what you love about the game. When you see this style of play, it makes you... These are the games you want to watch on a consistent basis. These two teams, who had quite been decimated from the whole COVID thing, both teams suffering from it, and Chelsea suffering more from a little drama caused by Romelu Lukaku saying some words of disservice towards his manager and his club.
Just shut your mouth, bro.
And causing a little drama in the Chelsea locker room. And they don't need it.
No.
Chelsea's in a bad run of form lately. They have been drawing and dropping points left and right.
Yeah, I think 12 points in the month of December we've dropped.
And it is... They have won one game, drawn four in their last five. A lot of points being dropped there. In the game right now on this table, those points are valuable beyond belief.
Yep.
And they come in to take on Liverpool. I'm sorry, Liverpool comes into London, into Stamford Bridge. And they have themselves a night. Salah does what he does best.
I hate that guy, but he's so good.
He and Sadio Mane
finally scores.
Get himself back on the scoring sheet. Give them Liverpool a 2-0 lead in the first half, in the first half hour of the game. Did not look good for Chelsea whatsoever.
No, I almost turned it off. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to watch this.
It was an ugly start for Chelsea the way they're going about it. No real convincing play. Liverpool had complete domination. But then some sheer magic happened.
Woo-hoo.
Mateo Kovacic with the volley of the century. Wow!
Damn, what a goal, baby.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Outside the box.
Dropping shot that just sank itself into the bottom corner of the net. It was truly spectacular to watch. That was a great goal. 2-1 game gives Chelsea some life. 42nd minute. That's when that goal happens. And then minutes later, our boy, Christian Pulisic, American wonder kid.
American captain.
Finally gets his goal. And he should have had one earlier before, but he floundered a chance. Floundered. Looked awful. Made me ashamed to be an American. I was like, that's what you're putting out there right now? You looked awful. But luckily you came back. Scored a goal, beautiful, a thunderous goal, to give a 2-2 game going into halftime, and there it sat for the rest of the game. Once again, both teams drawing even, getting a point each. Probably rightfully deserved the way it came about. Each one of them would take it. They don't want to drop points completely. They each want to get at least something out of it.
Yeah.
But Chelsea, desperate for anything right now. Can't lose them, especially with that Lukaku business.
Yeah, who knows
what's going to go on with him? The guy is in great form as well, and he was left off this team, off the bench completely by Tuchel. A strong statement by Thomas Tuchel right there to leave a guy who had been in great form, two goals in the past two games when he's coming back from injury. And this is what you do?
Yeah.
Not a good look for Chelsea. Man City loving it, though.
Yeah, they're
rolling along.
Laughing.
They are rolling along. Mm-hmm. Who else is laughing to me at Man United? Wow. What is going on over there? Pathetic. You had a 3-1 victory over Burnley, man, and then lose 1-0 today to the Wolverhampton Wolves? What?
Embarrassing.
This Ralph Ragnarok, whatever his German counterpart is.
I can't even,
He has an uphill battle to climb. Big one to do. Man United. Find it. You guys are way too talented. Way too much. Way too much out there to be floundering the way you are.
Best player in the world playing for you guys. Because can't even beat the Wolves.
Can't even do it.
Please.
That's foot and mouth, y'all.
Ready for some grind my gears?
Yeah, let's start it out.
Here we go.
You know what really grinds my gears?
These are all user submitted. You can do the same. TBP, not a game on Instagram. Casey says, when people don't get out of the fast lane.
Yep.
Nice. You know what really grinds my gears?
Nope, I just lost it.
Oh.
Give me a
second. I got one.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When somebody says, see you next year before the New Year's.
Yeah.
I got one.
Is it going to go?
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people call it New Year's and not New Year.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Oh.
That one's you. I just didn't want to admit that one.
Chatty Uber drivers, I'm forced to talk to you or suffer my star rating.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people don't use blinkers.
Anymore?
There was one, but I buried it somehow, and I don't feel like digging it out.
All right. Yeah. Fair.
Did you have one, Rudy? I thought you said you had one.
You got one?
Did I?
Derek, do you have one?
What was that?
Nah, it's all good.
All right. Yeah. I just want to make sure everyone's like gets their emotions out.
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
You know what really grinds my gears?